This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Well, I'm joined in the studio by Ashley Harrington. Now, she's a pretty phenomenal young lady. I'm going to let her tell us what she's been up to because I think it's better coming from her mouth. Welcome.
Thank you so much. It's so good to be here.
And thank you so much for coming in and having a chat to us and fitting us into your schedule.
My honor. It's my honor.
So I tell you what, you've spent a lot of time in the Middle East. You've spent a lot of time in a few different countries, which I'll get you to tell us about. What have you been doing? Tell our listeners.
Yeah, for the past almost 15 months, I've been serving in northern Iraq, working primarily with Yazidi people and women that have come out of captivity from ISIS.
Wow, that's no small feat. Now, you're young yourself, yeah?
Yeah.
And how old are you?
I'm 31.
31. And tell us a bit about your why before we go into details of what that looks like, helping them. But what prompted you to take on this challenge?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, going to the nations has been a journey of at a very young age, really feeling God's calling on my life. From the age of 7, I was always drawn to people that looked different, sounded different, and so God just kind of grew birthed that dream in my heart, and went on to uni and began to study international studies and learn more about cultures. And after graduating uni, headed off to the field and have been serving on the field for about 8 years and going to several different nations. And really the reason behind all of that is just I want the whole world to know about Jesus. I mean, he's changed my life, so why withhold that gift, you know?
So a lot of these countries that you've been to would be considered quite dangerous. So tell us where you've been.
Well, I've been in 40 different countries over the past 8 years. And so I've just gone to several areas in the Middle East and several nations that you would consider are closed countries. So for security purposes, I probably shouldn't give exact location. But yeah, just beginning each year praying and fasting for different nations and God really highlighting countries that are under a lot of persecution, or whether they're run by a dictator, or if terrorist organizations are very present within those nations. I love interceding for those groups of people and for those nations, and just asking God to open those doors to go and serve in some capacity.
Wow, amazing. What would be the highlight for you, the most impacting country you visited?
I think every nation provides something beautiful. I mean, I have loved my time in Iraq. I think the longer you're in a nation and the longer you get to invest into a people group, there's just something really special where they actually become like family to you. And just to see God working in some of the most devastating places and oftentimes where fear is supposed to reign in those lands, but ultimately seeing God shine in massive ways is so encouraging.
And each country would present different needs, I would imagine.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's poverty and brokenness everywhere, and it can just look different in different ways. But I think that's worldwide. I think even here in Australia and in my own country, America, there's brokenness to some extent. It's just having insight onto how to serve the best.
Do you work with different kind of organizations, NGOs within that place?
So usually in praying and fasting for different nations, like I would get connected to different organizations or different churches or ministries or even individuals that were on the field and go and partner with them and serve for, you know, between 2 weeks, 2 months, 3 months, that capacity. But then with the organization I was with in Iraq, I just stayed with one. And there's heaps of organizations throughout northern Iraq that are serving there.
And you speak a couple of languages, which helps.
Yeah. I speak probably bits and pieces of about 30 languages.
Wow. But okay. I said a couple. That was an understatement.
But it's more like, you know, hi, how are you, thank you. But conversationally, I can carry on in about 4 languages.
Wow. Amazing. Okay. So you've just come back from helping women who have come out of captivity from ISIS. I can't even begin to imagine what they've experienced, what they've seen, and what they've had to go through. What kind of things were you able to do to help?
Yeah. So our organization, we had a 10-day program that provided different forms of therapy for them, where it could be art therapy, music therapy, and just providing a safe space for them to express what's in their heart. Because culturally, a lot of times it's not an easy thing to express the things that have happened while they were in captivity. And so just providing a space to say, hey, we love you, you're safe. You can scream, you can yell, you can cry, and be in a place where you can express what's happened to you in a safe place. So those were some of the things that we did. And just even simple things of teaching them educational classes, giving them some insight for the hope for the future, just to give them just little tools in their belt, I guess, to continue on and have hope for the next day.
Wow. So how, like on a practical level, how have they escaped?
Well, each person is different. You know, these women were not released by ISIS, but they're very, very smart women. And so a lot of them, I can't give in detail of how their escape stories, just because there's so many that are still in captivity. Close to, I think, 3,700 women and children are still in captivity.
Wow.
So a lot of the methods in which they escape are still being used to this day. So they're very, very smart. They're very observant, and they use a lot of wisdom and are able to escape.
Yeah. Wow. All right. Is there one particular story that stands out to you that you can share with us?
Yeah. I remember one girl in particular. She was a 16-year-old girl. And what we would do during some of our group therapy is a thing called the Tree of Life. And each woman would draw out the roots, the ground, the trunk, the branches, the leaves, and the fruit. And it would be a description of different seasons of their life. And after they shared that, their story, then the Yazidi women would go around and speak something about what they appreciated about that one woman. And then as a staff, we got to go around and just kind of speak life and the beauty of what we saw in them as well. And I remember one girl in particular, I felt like the Lord was saying, ask this woman if you can place your hand on her heart and sing over her. And I thought, oh gosh, this is kind of risky, because we were in partnership with the government, and there wasn't that openness to really full on share the gospel. So I just continued praying, and I just remember feeling like my heart was racing, and I just felt the Holy Spirit say, yeah, no, ask her if you can do that. So it got to me, I spoke a few words over her, and then I asked her if I could place my hand on her heart and sing over her. And she said, of course. And so I came over to her, and what she didn't know either is that I had actually had a pretty rough year as well, but it was really beautiful. I placed my hand on her heart, and then she actually lifted her hand and placed it on mine. And then I just began to sing over her. I believe you're my healer. I believe you are all I need. Jesus, you're all I need. And I just continued singing that over her, and she just began weeping. And I felt the fire of God coming out of my hand, and just felt the presence of Jesus so strong. And the fact is, she didn't understand English, but she didn't need to, because the power of Jesus, the power of his presence, was strong enough, and he was there, and he was healing her. And that's, I think, something that God just has taught me so much in this past year, is the power of his presence and what the power of worship does in such a dark situation, how it shifts the atmosphere. And it's just beautiful.
Wow. Ashley, thank you so much for coming in and sharing your heart with us and some of your story and some of your journey. I tell you what, it's powerful stuff. And what do you know where you're off to next?
My hope is to return to the Middle East. And so just praying through different options right now. But my desire is to go back and to serve those women.
Yeah. Yeah. And do you personally have any fear, like going into these countries?
I don't. I mean, I think you have to come to a place in your heart recognizing that you could lose your life at any moment. But I think that's it can happen here in this country as well. And so I believe when the Lord says go, I would rather obey him, fear God versus fearing man, because I think life is short. We don't have time to truly fear and to buy into that spirit of fear. Perfect love casts out fear. So going in with power and authority that Jesus gives, and trusting and asking for discernment, of course, along the way, and wisdom, and he's faithful to give that wisdom. So
amazing. Ashley Harrington, thank you so much for having a chat today.
Thank you so much.